In silence, the two women watched him. His last remark, they knew, was nonsense, but was he going after it or not? He left them, carefully closing the front door, and when they looked through the hall window, they saw him go up the drive and begin to climb the slopes of withered fern behind the house.
"Oh, Lucia, what an awful man!"
"Well, he amuses me," Lucy said. "Either I'm mad, or else he is, and I'm inclined to think it's the latter. I think, though, that my admirer will hardly trouble me again." And Miss Bartlett, too, essayed the roguish.
"Well, it isn't everyone who could boast such a conquest, dearest, is it?"
"Let's go down to them." But once in the open air, she paused. Some emotion, pity, terror, love, but the emotion was strong, seized her, and she was aware of autumn. Summer was ending, and the evening brought her odours of decay.
"Hello, Lucy. There's still light enough for another set, if you two'll hurry."
"Mr. Emerson has had to go."
"What a nuisance! That spoils the fall. I say, Cecil, do play. Do, there's a good chap. It's Floyd's last day. Do play tennis with us, just this once."
Cecil's voice came.
"My dear Freddy, I am no athlete. As you well remarked this very morning, there are some chaps who are no good for anything but books. I plead guilty to being such a chap, and will not inflict myself on you."
The scales fell from Lucy's eyes. How had she stood Cecil for a moment? He was absolutely intolerable, and the same evening she broke off her engagement. He was bewildered. He was not even angry, but stood with a glass of whiskey between his hands, trying to think what had led her to such a conclusion. She had chosen the moment before bed, when, in accordance with their bourgeois habit, she always dispensed drinks to the men. Freddy and Mr. Floyd were sure to retire with their glasses, while Cecil invariably lingered, sipping at his while she locked up the sideboard.
"I'm very sorry about it," she said. "I've carefully thought things over. We are too different. I must ask you to release me and try to forget that there ever was such a foolish girl."
It was a suitable speech, but she was more angry than sorry, and her voice showed it.
"Different? How? I haven't had a really good education, for one thing," she continued. "My Italian trip came too late. I shall never be able to talk to your friends or behave as a wife of yours should."
"I don't understand you. You aren't like yourself. You're tired, Lucy."
"Tired?" she retorted, kindling at once. "That is exactly like you. You always think women don't mean what they say."
"Well, you sound tired, as if something has worried you."
"What if I do? It doesn't prevent me from realizing the truth. I can't marry you, and you will thank me for saying so some day."
"You had that bad headache yesterday." "All right," she had exclaimed indignantly. "I see it's much more than headaches. But give me a moment's time."
He closed his eyes.
"You must excuse me if I say stupid things, but my brain has gone to pieces. Part of it lives 3 minutes back, when I was sure that you loved me, and the other part, I find it difficult. I'm likely to say the wrong thing."
It struck her that he was not behaving so badly, and her irritation increased. She again desired a struggle, not a discussion. To bring on the crisis, she said,
"If you want to know, quite a little thing decided me to speak to you. When you wouldn't play tennis with Freddy."
"I never do play tennis," said Cecil, painfully bewildered.
"You can play well enough to make up a four. I thought it abominably selfish of you."
"No, I can't. Well, never mind the tennis. Why couldn't you have warned me if you felt anything wrong? You talked of our wedding at lunch. At least, you let me talk."
"I knew you wouldn't understand," said Lucy quite crossly. "Of course it isn't the tennis. That was only the last straw to all I'd been feeling for weeks. Surely it was better not to speak until I felt certain."
She developed this position.
Often before I have wondered if I was fitted for your wife, for instance in London. And are you fitted to be my husband? I don't think so. You don't like Freddy, nor my mother. There was always a lot against our engagement, Cecil, but all our relations seemed pleased, and we met so often that it was no good mentioning it until all things came to a point. They have today. I cannot tell why, but though all that you say sounds true, I feel that you are not treating me fairly, said Cecil gently. What's the good of a scene? No good, but surely I have a right to hear a little more. I really think we'd better go to bed. I shall only say things that will make me unhappy afterwards. It is all too horrible, and it is no good talking.